You know, there's a lot of things in the world that we take for granted. Over this last pandemic, you know, they gave out the checks for certain people. And people became dependent upon them. And then when the government said, we're going to start drawing that off, there was a whole bunch of anxiety because they had come to be dependent upon them. They were starting to take that stuff for granted. You know, before the pandemic, you could go to Walmart 24 hours. Now you can't. There were a lot of things that we just took for granted, and all of a sudden when those things started being taken away, you said, what's going on here? What's going on here? But we need to be thankful.
Amen.
We need to be thankful. My saga for school this week. I'm learning all sorts of spiritual lessons out of teaching. When I started teaching the math classes, I started giving assistance at the beginning to encourage people to do their homework. First quiz, I went around and I said, that one's wrong, go and try to fix it. And it was giving them some sort of hints. And I said, but there's going to be a time that I'm not going to give you that help on the test. This was the week of the test. And they come to think that there was going to be help, that they had taken that for granted. And it was very anxious to them when I didn't provide help. And they said, will you help us on this? No. Well, why not? We deserve it. No? No? I give you help? You need to do things on your own. And sometimes we become ungrateful. We become unthankful.
Yes.
We basically take things for granted. For several years, after we started having 8:45 service, we would get here about 8:15. And as we came down Wiseman, there was an Asiatic man. He was out there walking. And he's walking up the street, and as you go by, he would wave. And I always kind of look forward to waving at him. And Sunday after Sunday, he would walk by, and we would drive by, and we would wave. But then there came a Sunday that he wasn't there. And the next Sunday passed, and he wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, on one of the guardrails down there, there was a little memorial started to build. And it had his picture there. And he had gotten sick and gone to the hospital and passed away. But you know, we were taken for granted going down that road and on Sunday morning expecting him to be there. Expecting him to be walking up the side of the road. Expecting him to be waving. And there's a lot of things that we take for granted. This morning, I want to talk about something that we should never take for granted. And the title of my sermon is, Don't Take Grace for Granted. Don't take grace for granted. You could take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. We'll cover this area in another couple of weeks on Wednesday night. But this section is talking about grace. So all those little things I was talking about in kids' corner, the light switch, and turning the light switch and getting lights, opening the refrigerator door and having food, waking up in the morning and seeing the light of the sun, going to the restroom and having toilet paper there. Those things are little things, but we sometimes take that for granted. And then when it doesn't happen the way we want it, we say, what happened? What happened? We can't do that with God's grace. We can't take God's grace for granted. But before we read Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we can come into your presence. Father, you are Jehovah. You are also Savior. You are also Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you just help us today, Lord, as we study your word and as the truth would come out. And that, Father, that you bind Satan on our behalf and help us to be attentive. Father, help us not to take you for granted. Help us, Lord, not to take your grace for granted. Help us, Lord, just to follow you with all of our heart. Lord, I pray that there's decisions be made today, Lord, that we would make them, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. Father, help us today as we study your word and help it ring true in our hearts. And help us to be different than what we came in here as, more like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." See, there is a requirement for how Christians should live now. It's not that we're just going to heaven, but there should be a change in our life now. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We found out in our study that Paul had sent Titus down to the churches in Crete to establish leadership there because there was a lot of adversity going on. There was a lot of spiritual attacks going on, and people were kind of falling away. They were falling away from the message. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about simple things. We talk about foundational things, and grace is a foundational thing. We talked about having a simple faith, one that starts with salvation and continues with surrender. And it requires study. And then also requires us to share the gospel and share in the efforts of ministry to other people. We talked about our spiritual walk and how easy it is to lose it or lose our testimony by losing sight of spiritual opportunities, by being easily and staying offended, by settling on sin, by expecting others to do things that God has set us to do, and listening and being distracted or being deceived. We talked about last week about being effective as a Christian, about that we need prevailing prayer in our life, prayer that is persistent, prayer that is continual, prayer that's specific, that we use the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a powerful Word, and we have it at our disposal. That we need to have a positive faith because just having knowledge without faith doesn't do it. And then also having persevering love and persistent effort. But this morning we're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk about grace that some people take for granted. And so this message is in two parts. Why do people take God's grace for granted? And then what would happen if you didn't take God's grace for granted? You know, the first thing that people take grace for granted is because it's familiar. It's because it's all around. It's all around. You know, sometimes we see things and it becomes routine that we just expect it to be there. Maybe not even notice it when we don't see it. But see, God's grace is all around because we see it. In our text this morning, in verse 11 of Titus chapter 2, it says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto who? All men." Every one of us in here sees the grace of God. The issue is, what do you do? Is it so familiar to you that you just go on by and you just overlook it? Oh, we can't do it. Grace is all around. We see it. The other thing is we experience it. We experience it. In the later Psalms, there's a long Psalm, I think it's Psalm 138, talks about all the things that God did for His mercy endures forever, for His grace. God's grace is what does all these things. It was God's grace that caused creation. It was His power in that. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day, uttering speech." God's grace is evident to everybody. We see it all around us. It says, "Day unto day, uttering speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. Oh, folks, we can't take grace for granted. It's just not a familiar or routine thing. You know, one person said that familiarity is what breeds contempt. And there's a lot of people that get off on what grace means because they really don't appreciate it. Folks, we need to appreciate God's grace. Look around. Hear creation speak to us. But people who ignore it doesn't make a difference in their life. They just take that the sun coming up is just something that's naturally happened. Peter talks about that too, about future judgment and people in the world basically saying, "Well, every day is just like the last. Every day is just like the last. We'll do our own thing and we'll be fine." They're ignoring God's grace. They're taking His grace for granted. You know, sometimes we take grace for granted because it can be easily found. It can be easily found. Paul has been imprisoned by the Jews on his last trip to Jerusalem, causing an insurrection. And he's been put in prison, and Felix was the governor at that time. Now, Felix had wanted to use Paul as a bargaining chip so he could get some bribery out of that. He'd get some money out of it. But one day, he called for all the religious leaders to come down and put the case against Paul, and then Paul was allowed to defend himself. And in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, as Paul gives his defense, he says, "As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." You know, righteousness is by God's grace.
Amen.
To be self-controlled and to do what God wants us to do is by God's grace. Judgment and the ability to avoid judgment is through the grace of God. It says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" See, we feel the need. When Felix was confronted with the truth of God's grace, he trembled. He realized that there was something missing in his life and he needed it in his life, but not right now. Because the world has kind of made grace a little easy to find. And it is. And it is easy. But we feel, as Felix does, that there's always another chance. There's always another chance to get back into the good graces of God. There's always another chance to come back and start doing the things that God wants you to do by His grace. But folks, that's taking God's grace for granted.
Right.
That's taking God's grace for granted. That's saying, "Well, I can determine when I'm going to do it." No, it's on God's timetable. It's on God's timetable. See, we feel that there's always another chance. James writes about this in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city." You know about today? Today is because of God's grace. You know about tomorrow? Tomorrow is about God's grace. And you say, "Well, tomorrow I'll do this." Don't take God's grace for granted. Don't take it for granted. We will go. And who gives you the ability to go? God's grace. God's grace. Such a city, and continue there a year. Oh, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Folks, if you leave this place and tomorrow morning you wake up and all you do is you do your thing, you're taking God's grace for granted. If you go out and you see all the marvelous stuff in God's creation and you don't thank the Creator for this, you're taking His grace for granted. Folks, it's time to start having a grace view. We need to understand, be thankful for all things, as we talked about with the kids this morning. But people ignore the grace that's all around us. People basically say, "Well, on a more convenient day, when it fits my needs, when it fits my schedule, when it fits my desires, then I'll come to your grace." That's taking it for granted. That's taking it for granted. The third thing people take for granted is because grace abounds. Grace abounds. In the book of Exodus, it starts out with the story of Moses, basically. You know, Pharaoh has said that all the male children, Hebrew children, was to be thrown in the river and drowned and killed. But you know something? It was by God's grace that Moses' mother made an ark of bulrushes. It was by God's grace that she had the wisdom to take it to the particular point where Pharaoh's daughter was going to bathe. It was God's grace that that little ark of bulrushes didn't sink. It was God's grace that allowed Pharaoh's daughter to find Moses in the little ark. It was God's grace that had all the family members there that allowed Moses' mom to be the nurse to Moses in the palace. It was God's grace behind the scenes and God's providence behind the scenes that put Moses in a position where he came up as Pharaoh's son, heir to the throne. God was using His grace to position Moses for what was to come. But you know, he, just like us, sometimes forget, take all that for granted. We take things into our own hands. Later on, Moses, oh, by the way, it was God's grace that didn't wind up having Moses killed when they figured out he was a Hebrew, because they knew it. They knew it. So later on, Moses is now in the palace. He's now in the hierarchy of Egypt. And he sees an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. And he takes matters in his own hands. And he kills him. See, that's taking grace for granted. That's saying, "I can get away with whatever I want to." See, he was mistaken. The next day, the two Hebrews are fighting each other, and Moses comes on the scene and said, "Hey, you going to kill one of us just like you did that Egyptian?" And then Moses ran for his life because Pharaoh found out. And now he finds himself on the backside of the land in Midian. But you know something? It's God's grace that works all things together for good to them that are called according to God's purpose. It's God's grace that's all around in the hospital room, in the jail, when you're in financial distress, when you're financial success, when you have a lot of plenty in your house, when you have not much. God's grace is still there. And it shouldn't be taken for granted. So Moses goes, and we know the rest of the story. How he later comes on and he leads God's people out. But see, we think of God's grace and we say, oh, well, I have the liberty now to do whatever I want to do. See, there's a mistaken understanding about grace. Grace is not to allow you to do what you want to do. Grace allows you to do what God wants you to do. There's a total different thing. Your will needs to match up with God's will. It says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. See, the law and all those things came in to show us that we were sinners, that we needed a Savior, that we needed God's mercy, that we needed God's grace. But it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And see, if you have a mistaken understanding about grace, you're doing your own thing, then it leads a mistaken application. Because in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, if we're a Christian and we're taking God's grace for granted that we could do whatever we want to do, then we're trotting underfoot the blood of Christ.
Right.
And His grace at that time. And we're taking His grace for granted. We're taking the fact that He'll forgive us of all of our sins, and we're going the wrong way. You know, the very first two words of the next verse says this, God forbid. That's not it. So folks, the bottom line is, grace is everywhere. Don't take it for granted. Grace is easily found, but meet it on God's terms. Grace abounds, but it abounds so we could do things for God, not so we could do our own thing. So here's the second part of this. But what if grace was not taken for granted? What if we made a decision today that we were going to look at God's grace and we were going to do things that God wanted His grace to do in our lives? The first one is we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus for who He is. In John chapter 1, verse 15, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All those people that saw Christ heal the lame, heal the deaf, heal the dumb, heal the blind, raise up the dead. That was His grace. That was God's grace given to man.
Amen.
And they should have seen Him for who He is. People would see Jesus, secondly, for what He did. In verse 14, verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. For God, by His grace, so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth by His grace in Him should not perish, but by His grace have everlasting life. Oh, folks, if people didn't take God's grace for granted, they would see Jesus for who He is and for what He did. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the what? Of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Oh, folks, if we don't take God's grace for granted, we'll see Jesus. The second thing, if we don't take God's grace for granted, we will seek Jesus. People will seek Jesus for salvation. For salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Amen.
People would seek Jesus for support. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." That's where His power sits. "That we may obtain mercy and find what? And find grace." Yes, grace is easily found, but grace can only be found from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
"And obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Do you have a need this morning? Do you want God to do something in your life?
Amen.
Don't take His grace for granted. Don't take His grace for granted. Understand that it will be grace to help in time of need. And then thirdly, it's for spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 says this, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." God's calling everybody for salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's that grace that's everywhere. It's there for a reason. It's there for salvation. But it's also there for another reason. It's there for spiritual growth. "By Christ Jesus, that after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." You're going through some trouble, by God's grace, you'll get through it.
Right.
But you need to go find it.
Yes.
And you need to ask Him for it. You have not because you asked not. You want to be more like Christ? You want to be a better Christian? It's God's grace that will make you complete or perfect. You want to stand on the firm foundation of faith? It's by God's grace that establishes you. You don't think that you have strength for what is being required of you? It's by God's grace. I could teach another week of math. Okay? But it's by God's grace that He strengthens you. And when everything in a very unsettled world is falling around your head, and it doesn't appear that anything's going right, God's grace is still there.
Amen.
God's grace is still there to settle you down. So if people didn't take God's grace for granted, people would see Jesus. People would seek Jesus for salvation. People would seek Jesus when they had time of need. People would seek Jesus to grow into the person that God wants them to be. If people didn't take God's grace for granted, people would serve Jesus. To understand the sacrifice that He had on the cross was for us. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." He says, "You'll be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses." People would serve Jesus with acceptable words. With acceptable words. You know, there's a wrong way to say the right thing. But the issue is, there's always the right way to say the right thing. Amen? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, "Let your speech..." Let your speech be always with grace. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's time that our speech reflects that. And it's by God's grace that we are all those things. It is by God's grace we can speak that way. but the God of all grace, who hath called us, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. People would serve Jesus with acceptable words. Larry says, not purloining, not using it as a wedge. There's all sorts of things in there. People would serve Jesus with abounding works. With abounding works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able. You know what stops God from working in your life? You do. God's able to do it. But you must change your mind. You must decide that you're going to. And God is able to make what? All grace abound toward you. All the stuff that we talked about today, He can make to abound to you. That ye, always having what? All sufficient. Remember Paul? Paul struggling with this physical issue that he went and he prayed to God three times. That God would take this away. But what did Christ say? But my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, yep, okay. I'd rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of God may rest on me. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye have always having all sufficiency in all things. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Everything may abound to what? Every good work by His grace. Oh, folks, if we don't take God's grace for granted, we'll see Jesus. We'll seek Jesus. He'll be the go-to for all of our problems. And we'll serve Jesus. This morning, are we grateful for God's grace? Are we grateful for God's grace? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says this. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And see, he just didn't stop at saving grace. He says, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Is God, are we being useful to God or useless? Okay? Is God wasting His time on us? Or are we not taking His grace for granted and we're changing to Him? But the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored what? More abundantly. Folks, if we got a clear vision of what grace is, we wouldn't stop working for Him. We wouldn't stop seeking Christ. We wouldn't stop seeing Him. We want to be in His presence all the time. But I labor more abundant than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Oh, folks, this morning, what we need to do is what's said in Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. God's grace is not the mundane. God's grace is the power that changes lives. Changes lives through salvation. Changes lives through obedience and surrender. Oh, let Him change your life today. If you don't know Him as your Savior, come to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day. And cry on Him to forgive your sins and ask Him to come in your life and save you. Folks that know Christ, we have a relationship with Him. What are we doing with His grace? Are we taking it for granted? Or is it making a difference in our life? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask for Your time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Have Your grace come down upon us, Lord, and Your Holy Spirit fill this place. And Lord, change our lives to make us more like You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.